Hi, welcome to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
Judy Nathans.
And today's January 28th.
Oh, it is.
2020.
January 28th. That's right.
We still got that 2020 vision.
We do. Okay. Right. So there was a meeting last night. There's impeachment hearings.
We've got everything going on from national down to local.
Although they abbreviated theirs, but I guess they're now back and forth stuff starting.
On the national level, I think what they did to get, and again, mind you, I have not been watching it, but the thing is, you go through the living room, on the TV.
Well, it's on the radio. It's been on GBH and BUR.
I saw a woman actually when I was walking over today. Yeah. I saw a classic Cambridge scene.
Oh, me too.
There she is. She's on her bicycle.
Yeah.
With like the little seats on there with her kids going.
Yeah.
And a radio on the bike.
Oh, so it wasn't
playing
in her ear.
The news reports about the impeachment. I thought, how Cambridge is that?
At least it wasn't in her ear. That's dedicated. I like
it
that.
It is dedicated. Yeah. I'm not being critical. Yeah. I'm just saying, how Cambridge is that? Right?
I was listening to it on my phone till I could get to the gym where I could listen to it.
So let's see. So what is it?
The Republicans finished today in less of their 24 hours because they had nothing to say.
Right.
Really.
So they got to say basically now. Next comes questions. I don't actually know what that means.
No, it means that each side gets to ask questions of the presenters.
Oh, okay.
So that, and it's back and forth, and that's happening, I guess, Thursday. I don't know. Check your schedule, but that to me should be more interesting.
Well, they are reconvening tomorrow. I think that's what I heard them say at the very end.
Oh, so maybe that is part of it. All right.
And then, I don't know. How long does that go on? Days?
I don't know. Well, there's no witnesses that have been, unless this is, maybe this is the discussion. This is when they're going to find out if those Republicans, including Romney and Collins,
whether they get the additional four Republicans.
Right. They need four Republicans to disagree with the majority, which means that they may need to.
And I overheard that the McConnell crowd was like, they were playing hardball to get everybody to stay in line.
Yeah. But what do they have to lose?
You know,
Doug Jones, who was the Democrat who got that seat, the Roy Moore seat.
Yeah.
He's leaning towards not.
You know,
he is in a Trump district.
Yeah, a lot of the Republicans run scared, you know, as if to say they're going to get primaried out of existence. But I have always, for the longest time, maybe I'm just hopelessly naive, but I've always felt that for a person to just stand up on their own 2 feet and act, you know, properly, thoughtfully, and whatever, that they would be rewarded, you know, be somewhat independent and you would get rewarded. But maybe I'm totally naive.
I was born
yesterday. My birthday was January 27th, 2020.
What? Is it your birthday?
No. I was born yesterday.
Don't do that. I'm too concrete right now. Stupid question, ignorant of me. Is every Senate seat up this election?
No, one-third of
all
Senate seats.
Does it overlap?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The thing is, the way it works, because they have 100 seats, so you can't divide it evenly into...
Is it just the Senate, but the representatives are always up every 2 years?
Yes, every 2 years. Everybody. So that, you tend to see a lot more wild and crazy rhetoric
when from the representatives.
Reps,
okay. So it's only a third?
Only a third, and it's not that it's evenly divided. So the thing is, it's not like... Yeah. And on 1 year, it might be of the... One third of the, let's say, 33 seats that are up. There might be more Republicans than Democrats that are up.
Well, there were some special elections to fill seats, so those may come up.
Yeah, But, you know, it's not like you necessarily get a proportional amount of Democrats and Republicans in any given election. And I don't know what the cut is going to be for this one here. But, you know, people, it's going to get a lot of attention.
Well, Markey's being challenged by Patrick Kennedy. I went to the thing the other night at the
library. I have my spies. I wasn't there.
You're big on the Cambridge. Oh, did you? I know, because you spoke to the election commissioner, right? Victoria Harris?
That's it.
Yeah. All right.
My eyes and ears.
Yes.
It's true. So, by the way, speaking of elections, I just want to mention that.
Registration?
That's right. The voter registration for the presidential primary, which is March 3rd, is coming up. And I think it's, what is the deadline for that? It's like 20 days prior. But, so I don't remember exactly the date of that. But look, if you're watching this program, you're registered, okay? And if not, just do it tomorrow, okay? or I'll find you.
I think is it 20 days before?
It's something like that.
Yeah,
I think it's about 20 days. But the thing is that they're also having, because I was a little unsure last week, they are having early voting for the presidential primary.
I know that because there was a request for more money to cover.
That's right. So it's February 24th through 28th five sites plus the Cambridge Election Commission, which is always available for early voting.
Right.
So so those sites are City Hall basement, Police Department Community Room over on 6th Street in East Cambridge, the main library, the Cambridge Water Department building up on Freshmont Parkway, and the O'Neill Library on Ringe Avenue.
Which not every day. I mean, yes, every day, but the hours are different for different places. So it'll
be February 24th through 28th, Monday through Friday. No weekenders this time. Mm-hmm. And it's different hours.
Actually, the hours are the same, but like Monday it's 12 to 8.
Tuesday and Thursday are 9:30 to 6. And actually Friday also 9:30 to 6.
Yeah.
The election commission offices are a little wider. So, but you can go check them out.
It's only till 6, the election. Oh, wait, one's till 8 maybe. Yeah. Whatever, you can check it out.
So anyway, I urge everyone to do early voting so that they will
get registered if you're not.
There's one really important reason why you should do early voting, which is that if enough people do early voting, when I go to vote on election day, there will be no lines at all.
Yeah, and it is a presidential election.
And I have seen lines of people waiting.
Well, people saw lines in our municipal because of the machine slowness or something.
Yeah,
maybe is that because it was also ranked choice?
And it was something about a 15-second lag or something. Yeah. But they actually are addressing that.
We'll find out on March 3rd, won't we?
Higher speed scanners. Okay. But I have to mention it. The reason for the extra time is that the scanners are actually doing a better, more accurate job of scanning accurately and making sure they don't miss anything or rejecting ballots if there's a problem.
And
so
we have backup.
You should be thankful that they're actually doing that.
Places across the country. I think that should be mandated. You have to have backup to a vote.
Yeah, you know, one of the curious things, these voting machines, the scanners that we currently have, actually can have the capacity to scan and produce actual images of the ballots and record them. But Massachusetts state law doesn't permit that. So that feature has to be turned off.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Privacy.
Think it's not really a privacy thing, but it's just the way it's done. And
that would take up a lot more data. I mean,
the thing is that unlike the old machines with their 128 glorious kilobytes of storage, these are gigs and gigs and gigs. Okay. And I don't think storage capacity is an issue. Honestly, the thing is, you got your phone.
I have to keep deleting stuff.
Multi-megabyte photos, and you probably have thousands of them on
your phone. No, I don't on this phone. That's the whole point. Run out of storage. I only have 16 gigabytes.
You should carry around a voting machine.
Yeah, I only have 16 gigabytes. I cannot carry around more than like 20 photos or something.
How big are your photos?
You know what it is? I have a lot of apps.
Oh, okay. All right.
My photos aren't very big. Anyway, we'll discuss that. Doesn't matter. I don't need all that. You know, these people are like, here it is, here it is. And they're scrolling through thousands of photos to show you one on their phone.
It's wacky. It's wacky. I got no phone.
Well,
so
that is
another problem for me.
I think it's a problem for other people.
It is absolutely a problem.
They can't get a hold of you. They can't text you.
Now, speaking of images, sort of a sad event, really, nationally. Was the tragic death of Kobe Bryant and his daughter and seven other people, I believe it was.
They're saying nine, so more than one child there.
Right.
But like children,
including
mothers
Alta Valley
and daughters.
Family people
and
from Cape Cod
awful.
League baseball. And
well, he used to do the Brewster waves or something, which I actually saw play this summer.
Yeah.
So it's funny.
So, you know, a terrible tragedy, but I have to say one thing that was kind of like Cambridge stepping up to the plate, and it was actually, I made it to national news, was that one of our dear friends in Central Square commissioned a graffiti artist to actually do Graffiti Alley and do an image of Kobe Bryant and his daughter in here. So that's this piece of the image.
Yeah, I can't get the whole
thing. You won't
be
able to do the whole thing, so maybe you can just
zoom in or zoom out.
Maybe just scroll down and just sort of appreciate it that way here.
So you can see the top of, this is the daughter, Gigi.
Yeah.
Gianna.
Yeah.
And she's sitting like on top of Kobe.
Yeah.
And those numbers refer to his basketball numbers, and I believe two was her basketball number. She played on a league.
Right.
And this is amazing. How did this happen now?
Well, it's Patrick.
Yeah.
So the commissioned new artist who then contacted Michael Monestine with the Central Square Business Improvement District. And in a flash, they got the same artist who had done the Martin Luther King
Right, which is across the alley, right?
It's actually just to the left of this. Mm-hmm. And you know, within hours, it was basically up and done. I tell you, amazing. You know, it's an interesting illustration of what good creative things that can be done with a business improvement district. If you had like a city government to do something like this, it wouldn't happen first. But even if it could happen,
it was amazing.
They'd have to put it out to bid or do something silly like that in order to do it. So the responsiveness is of the business.
Oh, there's the artist's name down there. I can't read it though. Looks great. Like that's the artist's name.
So anyway, that job well done. Yeah. You know, I've never been the biggest fan of the Graffiti Alley, but the thing is the MLK image that was put up on MLK Day, as well as this one for Kobe Bryant, was just wonderful. Mm-hmm. It does, for me, it raises sort of a curious question, which is if somebody actually puts up a piece of graffiti art that is really fabulous, what is the protocols amongst graffiti artists for painting over it? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's kind of an awkward thing if you get to that.
I'll get to it. You can keep talking.
Yeah.
I'll go back to
it. You know, so anyway, so that was, Cambridge did good there, you know, and certain specific individuals as well. You know, really it was great. So we did have a city council meeting last night.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, this is still early on in the term, so it's not like you're getting these, 40 city council order days with 27 committee reports, because just hasn't had enough time for it.
There were like 10 or 11,
weren't there? Well, there were three committee reports, two of which are leftovers from the previous council. There are actually, I think, still 15 committee reports due from the previous council.
I was going to say, these were... okay.
And one from the current.
No, but these two committee reports are based on meetings that happened this year.
One
was December 11th, but one I thought the second tree one was recently. No.
The tree one certainly was.
And that was already January 22nd.
What having to do with the Cambridge Carnival, which was the second committee report.
Right.
And also the original one on natural gas ban was actually dated to...
December 11th.
December. So
right, because Jan Devereaux's number.
Right, so those are the two from the previous council. And then they did, you know, I have to give credit to the new city clerk.
He's doing tremendous turnaround. January 22nd, which just a week ago, and he already had the committee report on that one.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they're using it's a little weird because they're using some software to generate.
Right.
It's essentially a big transcript. It's, you know, I actually read through these. They are chock full of errors, but
I read through it. Is that why? Because I actually said, wow, this is even more. I remember minutes from past. It didn't have everything. This has actual,
except
that it's auto-corrected or something, right?
I think
that's what it is.
I think it's generated, and then the, at least according to one of the city council aides will go through it. But
there's a lot missed.
So
but the gist is there.
When I put it up on my site and I see obvious errors, I correct them. So there's another level of correction on mine.
That's interesting.
You know?
But I still appreciate the fact that, wow, they said this and it was like verbatim almost.
You know, I will note, though, that Patty Nolan at one point actually felt the need to summarize the meeting as part of her the discussion last night for one of the, I think it was it the tree ordinance one?
Yeah.
Because, honestly, a transcript is wonderful, but sometimes you just want the synopsis, right? And that's not provided now.
And what do you mean a synopsis? How do you get a synopsis? That's up to the clerk?
It's always been done that way. So in other words...
What would be a synopsis? What do you mean?
It's
like
really more like minutes of the meeting as opposed to a transcript.
But this was labeled minutes.
I know, but it's really more like a transcript.
Well, then they should say transcript. But really I appreciate
should.
It because
really
minutes
should.
To me, I've been at meetings where I've seen minutes and they don't have everything in there.
Listen, at times when I've actually spoken at committee meetings or at city council meetings and I thought I made a very clear,
it was a clearly laid out
point. And then it says, you know, Robert Winters 366 Broadway spoke against the petition or something. And it's all it said, you know. And
so
I said, wait a minute, I made a really good point.
So this is
better.
But one should go through it and correct spelling
But
I don't think it was misinformation. I just think it was misunderstood.
Yeah, but the thing is, if people go back and forth, you know, and sometimes you just want to say, okay, they spoke for 10 minutes about blah, blah, blah.
Oh, so you're saying it should be somewhat limited.
You know, a little summary would be helpful, like an executive summary.
I guess we have different opinions. I like seeing it because I could not be there. I want to hear every word. So I guess
no. I'm not saying stop doing it. I'm just saying is that maybe up front and sort of say here's the synopsis. Now here's the whole.
Speaking transfer. Of which, and I think that almost leads into one of the policy orders about interpreters. Now, what do you feel about that? Now, how would that apply to that, for instance?
You know, over the years, there have been
maybe
lots
we should
of
back up and explain what the order was.
All right. Well, this one has to do with, I think, kind of, is it real-time interpretation for different languages?
Well, did it say real-time or was it everything? I think you might be right on that.
Yeah, it could be. But, you know, I remember over the years, there were, first off, there were calls for having a...
sign language or
Various helpers for people with visually impaired,
right.
Hearing impaired.
Oh, you don't have it here. Okay.
Lots of requests that have come down over time.
Yeah.
So this is sort of the next round of it all. I mean, honestly, the thing is, from a technological point of view, just in terms of making information available of these public meetings, we're leagues ahead of where we were 5 years ago. But the thing is, we're not 100%
there. What do you mean leagues in terms of language fit? Or
just in terms of
getting information.
Getting information.
Yeah.
Well, it's
right.
Not perfect.
And we're televising everything now, too, which is great.
That's right.
But what I didn't understand about that was, because if it's real time and they said, yes, there's this came up a while ago. McGovern pointed that out and they couldn't do it technologically, but now they might be able to. But what does that mean? Someone that we hire sits in like at the UN and actually reinterprets it as it happens? That
would be
expensive. And who is it going to?
You know, here's my guess.
I think it's after the fact you would hear.
I'll betcha.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, there's like Dragon is one of the companies that had speech recognition software.
Right.
And certainly the software, that whatever they're using now to generate the minutes of these meetings, or really the transcripts.
True, to be done in another
language. The thing is that if that can generate a text, then with a tiny little time lag, just as you have Google can do translate text, there are software that can actually do translate.
Can you imagine if there's mistakes with the English?
Oh, it'll be
my God. You know what? I mean, I have the sense that it was more like someone that really wants to know what's going on, but they don't have the language. I think, well, wait a minute.
You know, speed and accuracy are not always compatible.
How many people is that?
Compatible.
I think they should do a survey of somehow to see who is this really going to reach, because to me that sounds very expensive.
I don't know if
there might be software, but how many languages are you going to do?
You have to make a decision on that, yeah.
And it can't be real time, I don't think.
It'll be close to it. It could be close to it.
Yeah,
but
well, then that's more than a machine. You're going to have someone monitor that.
As I say, if you can do speech recognition software that can actually generate the text more or less real time, maybe.
But then they're saying, okay, then you could just do it at home on your computer. But that means assuming everyone has a computer and everyone has internet. There's a lot of things here.
I wonder sometimes actually what the demand is really, or whether this is just sort of signaling the virtue of the counselor.
I have to say, if you need the translation of everything, because you. Well, first of all, I think it was unfair to say most departments don't do. I know the recycling division sends out stuff in different languages.
Yeah,
I know that
yeah.
for sure. I don't know about other departments, but there it's important because it's your waste, it's your trash.
Sure.
I'd like to see a report on like what is out there, but is it feasible? To me, it's a woman manpower issue too. You can't just have a machine do this.
Right. So. And I would hope that if it does generate some of text and it's full of errors, that there will be a correction after the fact.
Yeah, because if you're talking about errors now, I cannot even imagine translating into Chinese or something really, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd like to see the demand, if the demand is really there.
Yeah. And
I don't know how you determine that.
I doubt
that.
It, yeah. Anyway, there were a few other interesting items.
Well, especially actually, on the manager's agenda that drew some interest, yes? Maybe not. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, one thing I was just going to say, because one significant passing in Cambridge was Richard Griffin. Now, I have to say, because I originally met him, I think, when we were both on the board of the Cambridge Civic Association. And like Carol Cerf, who passed away recently.
Yeah, that was mentioned by Denise, that he was on that.
The
yeah.
thing is I actually remember both of them from those days as real... decent, nice people. You know, I had actually gone onto the board of the CCA with this, people said to me, oh, these people are all just, conniving, manipulative, you know, backroom dealers and whatever. And yeah, there were a few of those, and some of them are still in the game today, and they're just as manipulative today as they were then. But the thing is, there were also some really, really decent people as well, and Carol Cerf and Richard Griffin were definitely amongst them. So anyway, he passed away quite recently. And, you know, it was interesting to hear in some tributes. Actually, Amy Salzman from the Cambridge Chronicle, she had a kind of an emotional impact to his passing, which I thought was really...
Was that in last week's Chronicle?
Yes, okay. An editorial. Mm-hmm. But Dennis Carlone actually said something at the meeting last night. I said, well, that was like a revelation to me. He said, I didn't know that Richard, when he was a young man, he was a pretty good baseball player.
Oh, right, you mentioned that,
Really? Gosh, I wish I'd known that. That would be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, for over the years we have occasional contact, and he was always just really decent.
I just read his articles.
His growing older column in the Cambridge Chronicle was beautifully written. I mean, really, really spotless. Wonderful, wonderful person. So, so that was one of the Council Revolution Revolution. That's a whole other matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of revolutionary. Oh. One of the city council orders that I thought was interesting. I don't know if it's feasible, but we'll see.
Oh.
You know, people have been talking not just in Cambridge but elsewhere too about why don't we
just make all buses free,
right? After all, they said if you add up the total revenue you get from the buses and you do the trade off against just the cost of actually collecting it, you know, honestly, with the bus passes and the time.
Oh, I don't know. It's just a thing now.
Right.
You need more people, like you said. And were you the one that said, then you'd have to hire more buses and more people?
Well, but, you know, it is potentially very transformative. The thing is that, and I'm speaking kind of honestly now because one of the benefits I have in my current job is that I get a free pass.
Yeah.
And I kind of like it. It gives me great encouragement to use the bus, right? But for me, it basically took me off the bike and onto the bus rather than out of a car and onto a bus.
But it just made it easy. But it's not like you really...
Made it easier.
You had the money. It was a hassle to get out of the car and all that stuff.
You know, the thing is, you know, some people, I think that the only thing this would be an incentive for people who have a very low income. But the truth is that, you know, just the fact that you could just get it on and off a bus as a convenience...
But it'd be curious, yeah. I mean, they could do a pilot of it, but still.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, like myself, are kind of on the thrifty side anyway, so... You know, if you say, oh, it's free. Oh, great. I think I'll use it.
But anyway, but getting back to this order, I don't see how it's feasible when it's the MBTA.
I don't think it is.
It's beyond our city.
I don't think it is. So I think the only way anything like this really happens is if it's done kind of more broadly. You know,
through
the MBTA
broadly
system.
Or we have our own bus.
Now, the order specifically talks about Cambridge-specific routes, like the 68, which is the one I use, was totally within Cambridge.
What about the 83? The one that goes up Broadway, the 68.
69, it runs Leachmere to Harvard Square.
Mm.
You know, so those, I suppose, if you could get a concession from the MBTA, you could maybe get those to run free.
Mm.
You know, they're not always heavily utilized. You know, so there is actually extra capacity in a lot of the hours of the day for these buses. But the truth is that if you really made something like this free, then it becomes a lot more attractive. You probably get more riders.
What if it was just free at certain hours? Would that help, like rush hour, and then you pay the rest of the time?
Maybe.
But then everybody will
wait a rush hour to get on the bus.
No. If you have to go to work, you've got to go to work.
Right, yeah.
It's something that, like you said, is being talked about in other
cities. You know, normally I'm more inclined to go for something like a token fee just to sort of, you know, as a sort of an act of good faith, like I'm not just trying to take something here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't think this is a crazy idea.
No,
you know,
it's been talked about actually a lot of places.
Yeah.
As a way to cut down on cars.
And actually up at City Hall last night, James Williamson was there and he's saying, do you remember when we had the free bus?
No.
You know, there was actually there were people who actually would do that. They would get a bus and they would just operate it on the regular streets of Cambridge and just pick up passengers. Yeah, it was back in the days when there was free love, free clothes, free free food.
The green tortoise that went from coast to coast?
I remember not only the green tortoise.
I know someone that got married to someone they met on that bus.
There was the gray rabbit,
It wasn't free,
too.
But it was very cheap, wasn't it?
I remember the green tortoise coming after the gray rabbit.
We're showing our age.
I know, but I took the gray rabbit.
You did? Where did that go?
I picked it up in New York City and took it out to San Francisco.
Holy moly.
And it was actually run by a guy named Lester Rawl, who operated out of Eugene, Oregon. So what I did is I said, I went out to the West Coast, and I said, what the hell? Let's just go up there. And it was like a commune. Next thing you know, I'm like hanging out in some commune house.
So did they stop? It's a nonstop. You went from New York City to San Francisco?
It wasn't nonstop exactly. But the thing is it was they took out all the seats.
And
it was just, you put your luggage down low, you put down plywood and then mattresses.
God,
so
I
traveled across the country on a big mattress.
Yeah.
And it was fun. It was great, actually.
Is this the 70s?
For me, it was about, 70s? I think it was 1974 for me.
Yeah, it's the 70s. Yeah.
Yeah. But I got to know Lester, and it was great. Mm. And I got to know some of the other bus drivers, because some of them were living up
and
in that commune place.
I guess that just went out of...
The bus companies hated it, and they used every regulation they could. The Greyhounds and Continental Trailways of this world to just drive them out. So they were always like looking out carefully, like watch out for the law. We're about to get busted.
So it was illegal.
It depended on the states. Yeah.
Oh, because you'd have to have certain permits to operate in the state, right?
And this was rogue buses.
This was definitely rogue.
Yeah,
you're right.
And it was great, but it was
interesting.
And it was, and I forget what I paid to go across the country. It was probably like $30 or something like that.
Equivalent, right?
But, 48 hours across the U.S. of A. It was great,
Why did we bring that up?
Free buses. Right. So, actually, there was a back and forth thing in the Cambridge Chronicle about the Gray Rabbit that got started some years ago.
Oh.
And every once in a while, there's still something gets tagged on. Somebody actually archived it all, including some of the people who were actually drivers for them got involved in it. It was great.
It was so definitely the hippie.
Great
movement.
Revival.
Yeah.
So, anyway, should we have free buses for Cambridge?
Yeah. Well, I think we should have free buses for a lot of places.
Yeah,
and,
but if the demand would go up, you'll need more buses, more drivers, but it could take a lot of people off the roads otherwise.
Yeah.
So I think I'll be interested
to see
where this
goes. Well, put more
buses
on the roads, but at least you
take a lot more cars off.
Yeah,
maybe. So it could be great. We'll see. I think it's a good discussion to have.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes on Cambridge Inside Out.
Oh, wow, really?